In the first service, I unpacked a little bit about how do you handle stress? And instead of backing off and just maintaining, you begin to go through the gear shifts. And so I want to encourage you, if this, get a hold of that first service after this service. I want to go straight into our second session about the Christian life getting bigger. For some reason, Christianity in our world almost has people thinking that if you're a Christian, you just kind of stay dumb till he comes. You stay poor. We're just kind of the salt of the earth. We're just down-home good people. You know, we're not CEOs or presidents or prime ministers or members of parliament. And it's all wrong. The very definition of faith requires you to think bigger and to live bigger. And every season of life, every gear you're in, requires you to go to another gear. Just the very definition of the Christian life. But the enemy of our soul, Satan, who has no power but has to trick you into using your power against yourself, has got to convince you, I'm maxed. I'm stressed. I don't think I can go anymore. I can't go any further. This is it for me. No, it's not true. When you were 2 years old, trying to button up your shirt, you were stressed. Then you turned four and you had to tie your shoes. That was stressful. Then you had to leave mama and go to grade one. That was stressful. I mean, life is nothing but max stressed feelings. And in every chapter, in every area of life, there is a clutch in, gas off for a second. Well, you put it into third and you go into a whole nother chapter of life. Hebrews 11:6 is where I want to start for the second session. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay, so I have to please God with faith. But give me another verse, 2 Corinthians 5:7. As Christians, we walk, we live by faith, not by sight. Now let's examine that. And I'm going to just move this table back a little bit so I can stay in the camera shot. In life, faith, according to Hebrews 11:1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, if in life I'm down here at this level and things are going well and I'm just happy here, you go, I'm content. No, the word content didn't mean Paul stopped sharing his faith, stopped planting churches, stopped preaching the gospel. I reached five, I'm good. No. Content was more of a heart aspect than it was a driven to succeed aspect. So if you're at this level in life and you say, okay, faith says go for what you don't see yet. Faith says hope for something beyond where you are. The only way to please God with our lives is to continue to move upwards. So all of a sudden, I'm going for it, and I get to another level. And this is exciting. I've never had a relationship or my finances or my career at this level. My relationship with God, everything's at a new level. This is amazing. But if you stay here, you'll find you stop pleasing God. I don't mean God's hard to please. I mean, he knows how you're made. And now that you've arrived with what you were hoping for, you're supposed to hope for more. Leon, when are we ever satisfied? Well, we're content, but we're never satisfied. And I'll show you why. But in life, all of a sudden, you're at this level, you're doing good. But the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm hoping for another bigger level in every area of my life. Up another level. Oh, this is awesome. I've never been doing this. This is incredible. I'm up here. This is amazing. And I'm enjoying this level for a while. Then all of a sudden, the presence of God will just push you. Come on, go for more. Business, relationships, God, church. Come on, just keep going. See, you're designed that whenever you sit still, you get into trouble. You have got a drive in you to continue to grow and to get bigger. So now I'm at this level, and I just can't imagine doing more. So, Leon, I don't need any more money. Good, you're the perfect person to bless because you won't just keep spending more on you. Well, Leon, I'm already making this much. Good. Take it further up. And let's go reach the world for Christ. Let's finance more languages, plant more churches, buy bigger campuses. You're the perfect person to get bigger in business. So God's not against bigger. In fact, it's the opposite. The very nature of a believer, which is faith, without this push to continue to grow, you're going to find that it's hard to please God. And it's not that God is not pleased, it's that your life will get into trouble. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. And you, how many of you are at a place in life where you're pretty good where you are, but you're content, but you don't have that passion to go, there's no adventure with where you are, but if I'm going to go up another level, I got to risk some stuff, don't stay where you are. I'd rather fail chasing a dream than succeed staying plateaued. So I turn with my life and I go, I'm going for another level. And I add works to my faith. I'm believing God for something I've never done before. And I'm up there and I go it again. There are no end of the gears that you can shift into as you continue to grow. But the enemy's trick is to get you to feel stressed, maxed, or your set point. For those who work out, your set point is reached and you just can't imagine. You've hit a ceiling. There are no ceilings. There are no ceilings. God's not the one holding you back. But if the enemy can get you to feel stressed, max, oh, this is just too much. I can't imagine going any further than this. And I'm just hard. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, listen to this. Now to him, by the consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our highest desires, our highest thoughts, our highest hopes, our highest dreams. Everything about God is he has made you to never stop growing for eternity. Forget 70 years, eternity. You've hit 60 and you think, retirement 65. You know, this is the only gift I got. I found the whole two gifts I've got. You have an incredible amount of gifts that will take you forever to determine. You're designed to live forever. You've been made to rise and go. And when religion begins to teach you, just be happy, just be satisfied, stay where you are. This is the Amplified in Ephesians 3:20. It says, this exceedingly abundantly has a purpose. It's to carry out God's purpose. Business people are sitting here right now thinking, well, you know, Leon, it's not so much the money, it's the love of the, of course it is. Of course it is. Leon, I like making money. Is that a sin? Are you kidding me? That's not even in the Bible that it's wrong. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. People without it love it more than often people with it. It's the love of money. But then what about a guy who is amazing at playing the piano? I just hate playing piano, but I'm the best one at it. No, he loves playing the piano, which is why he's so good at it. And if you're hearing you like, I love chess. It's not because you get beaten by everybody. Why do you love chess? Because you beat everybody. Well, why do you love something? Because you're good at it. So for business people are going, well, you know, I mean, our bills are paid and we go on good holidays. And I just don't want to, I just need to be satisfied. No, be content with who you are in Christ. But if you've been given a business, something on the inside of you to raise up organizations, the presence of God is on you for that. And there's no end to where God can take you. You just got to remember, stop being selfish with it and do it for his purposes. And if you don't do it for his purposes, you'll find that wherever you are, it'll cost you something. There's not this ability from God to go to that next level. And so I want to challenge you, make sure that you're plugged into a local church, planted in the house of the Lord. Make sure you're volunteering, make sure you're giving, tithing, so that as you continue to prosper, this selfish side of all of us, which has to be crucified every day. I crucify, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, it says, make your body a living sacrifice. That doesn't make sense. That's like saying that, a living sacrifice means you kill it. You sacrifice it. But you're a living sacrifice. We've got to die to self. But God's called us to move on. And I want you to know, everybody here, I don't care how stressed you are, how bad things are going. I don't care if your marriage is driving you nuts and you can't handle another month with this person. Guess what? The rest of your married life, there's just going to be new things to argue about and talk about and go to a whole new level. Marriage is not just about someone that you can marry that can look after me. No, a marriage, first of all, isn't for love. So you're saying marry someone you don't love. No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the Bible says seek first the kingdom of God. Your marriage's purpose first is to help God's kingdom advance, which is helping get rid of the little baby in you and the self-centered narcissistic you and learn to love. A marriage is one of the most amazing places to learn to die to self and to love. And so you're always going to be, you know, conflict about this, talking through this. Marriage is not like tiptoe through the tulips. And we, you know, one person said to me, we've been married 15 years. We haven't had a fight yet. Oh, really? I said, well, your marriage is the one that just disappears overnight because somebody is sucking up to the other one, putting up with something if you don't have some good old fights. Not talking physical. I mean, learn to fight fair. Learn to deal with your stuff. I mean, the last fight Sally and I had, she came crawling back on her hands and knees. And she said, come out from underneath that bed and fight like a man. The enlargement of your life is a God thing. Getting better at relationships is a God thing. Financing more money is a God thing. Building greater friendships is a God thing. Knowing God better is a God thing. Having a greater relationship circle, getting planted in local church. God wants to advance your life. Now let me show you how to increase your capacity. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 23, I'm going to tell you the story really quickly. The Bible says, this is how the kingdom of heaven works. First line of verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like this. And then it tells a story of a master who gets his three servants together. He's going on a long trip, and it says he gives one guy five bags of gold. Now, one bag of gold takes a laborer about 20 years to earn. And he gives one guy five bags. He gives another guy two bags. And he gives a third guy one bag. Now you say, well, why does the guy with five get five and the guy with two get two and the guy with ten? No, the Bible says they were each given an amount of money that matched their ability. Okay? So then it says he went away. And when he came back, he called the servants to task. The guy with five said, Master, I took the five, and here's five more, here's ten. The guy with two said, here's the two you gave me, and I made two more, buying and trading. And the guy with one walks up with his head kind of hanging down, and here's his excuses. Oh, I knew you were a hard man, and so I didn't want to lose it. And I knew you can have whatever you want whenever you want. You can reap and sow without even planting. So, which is not what this was even about. So here's your bag of gold. And the master took it and said, you slothful, lazy employee. He says, why didn't you at least go put it in the bank so there's some kind of increase? Now, the guy with the one bag of gold in Jesus' story didn't lose it. He maintained it. Christians are so into maintenance ministry. Well, things are going okay. Let's not rock the boat and go for more. We're fine. We're sad. We're happy. No, it's not about you. Your life needs to get bigger so that you can reach out and have more friends, so you can reach out and finance greater things, so that your marriage goes to a new level and becomes a great example for the people around you to say, how did you guys do it? Because I know you didn't marry an easy woman. How do you guys do it? I know you didn't marry a guy that was easy. How did you do it? Like, it is our lives as they get bigger. I don't mean selfishly narcissistic, everything's about me. I mean this bigness that keeps coming. So when you get stressed, when things push at you, when you feel like it's time to quit, you're maxed, you're stressed, don't quit. That's the enemy's trick. Instead, you learn to shift gears. And every shifting of gears is a mental shifting. It's a mental shifting. And as you get to know God's word, you'll be amazed at how your life changes. Now, it's interesting, and I want to just give you this. I hope it'll help you, but where can I go as a concluding thought? When the master came to his three staff, it says he gave them each a certain amount of resource, but the resource that was given to them was according to their ability. Two guys increased it. One guy plateaued it. Let me give you a formula. Their ability plus the resource plus their faith, which is acting on what you believe determines their capacity. You see, your capacity is the ability to handle more, less stressed. And in business, we see it all the time. We see it everywhere in life. That, you know, that this little three-year-old's maxed out just having to tie his shoes and put his coat on. He's frustrated. His tears coming down his face. He's at capacity. But as he continues to grow and learn, capacity is going to increase till that little guy can run an entire country. When he hits his 40s and 50s and has learned a few things. So you have an ability. You're going to find that resources will always match your ability. But then what your faith, your action does with the resources and your ability actually increases your capacity. Example, the guy with five had a capacity of five. He had an ability of five. The master gave him five. He took the five, went out and worked it and traded until he had 10. Well, the actual working of the five gave him a new capacity of, you're so quiet, 10. He's got a new capacity. Why? He took the resources, he took his existing ability, and he labored and believed God and acted on his faith, and together he took what God had given him and he took it to a whole new level. His capacity's at a new level. And when the master comes back, he goes, wow, you've been faithful in little. I'm going to give you cities to run. I'm going to give you this much. Why? Because he had increased his capacity. As a believer, we're not here to just read the red, pray for power, and cry prayers. Please help me, God. Please help me. No, God is here to strengthen you, to help you build your capacity, help you to rise up so that you can continue to handle more, do more. The kingdom needs to advance. I want Christian businessmen and women at the helms of businesses that are shaping our nation. I want Christian politicians at the helm and the seats of power who know God that can help shape this. We need Christian professors teaching our kids in universities. Like, just pick it. We need people rising up who have a sense of bigger. God wants you to think bigger. He wants you to go bigger. He is with you to go there. But the enemy's lie. Enemy's lie is you're stressed, you're maxed, you can't go any further. And that's all hooey, because you've been doing it your whole life. Your whole life. You know, it's amazing if you've got a job in a certain career, how that when you first got a job there on that crazy factory or on that crazy sales team or on that, you know, wherever you are, and it was just like, you don't know how in the world you can do it. Now, a few years later, you're managing the whole thing at a glance. You have a gut feeling, you know, you sense you're good at what you do. Your capacity has increased. I pray that God touches you today and helps you realize you are a gift. And that the kingdom of God advances when men and women take their place, believe God, and continue to rise up. You might not know where you're going. You might just be stressed out. You might not know where that next step is. But to know that God has more for you, that it's never ending, that there's never a stop. Your relationships will keep growing. Make sure the one with God is first. Then Jesus said, I will build my church. Make sure you're planted in the house of God. Don't be switching around. You know, find the place that is life-giving with a leader that you can tie into and begin to roll up your sleeves and volunteer, give, plug in. This is where I'm planting. And then generations of your family can be something about building, advancing the kingdom of God. But today, I just want to get this one thought through religious mindsets. You were made for more. And when you're stressed out and don't think you can handle any more, you're going to go a billion times further. And there's a whole lot of gear shifting yet ahead of you. And you will do 100 times more than you're doing right now with more peace, more joy, more ability to administrate and manage, more capacity than you've ever seen. Trust God. Keep going. Don't stay where you are. Why would you want to stay in that frustrated, stressed out, 10,000 RPM engines going, wah, and there's no shift in sight? Listen to God. Watch what he does. Because this adventure called life was made by God to be exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. Father, I pray you touch every person here. I pray that, Lord, for those believers who are seeking you about next chapters in their life and the stressed out places that they're in right now, that Father, your peace, your joy, your ability, your word would become real to them. And Father, they would just move easily. They'd shift into that next year, that next season, that Father, they would see, they would know. I'm asking you to touch every person here in a very special way. Every head bowed for just a moment. For those that are here that you would say, Leon, I'm not even sure that I'm a Christian. You know, I'm just not sure. I'm going to help you be sure. Or maybe you're here and you're going, one time I felt close to God, or I tried this, but I've wandered a long ways away from Him. It's time to come back. I want to lead this entire place in a prayer, a powerful prayer, right from your seats, of getting right with God. It's the most important prayer that's ever prayed on the planet, because that prayer determines your eternal home when you die. If you're here and you'd say, Pastor, please include me. Today I'm making a decision to follow Christ. Today I'm making a decision to hook back up with Jesus and follow Him. Then just open your eyes. And before I pray with everybody right from your seats, just give me a wave and say, Pastor, include me. Right now, hands up all over the auditorium. Say, Pastor, just include me. Where are you? Praise you, Jesus. I want to get right with God. Thank you. Others. Those who are watching right now on the other campuses, there's a pastor leader at the front, and they're waiting for your hand. God's touching your heart. You have a desire to do this, and you're wondering, should I? If there's this feeling in your gut, this sense of, I need to do this, then do it. Don't miss this opportunity to get right with God. Thank you. Let's all pray with these amazing folks who are making the greatest decision of their life. Let's pray this prayer out loud, boldly. It goes like this. Just say, Dear God, I give you my life. I want you. Please forgive me for everything I've done wrong. All of it. Come into my heart. I'm following you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful, how beautiful that is.